this morning from the Word of God. I want to continue with Romans. And what I want to share this morning, I always come at it with, I have a lot of stuff, and I always just condense it to something that's just the fault, because sometimes when I prepare sermons and the Lord gives something to me, am I not on, Bill? Okay. I end up getting very convicted as I study. It's always good to be convicted. Yes. It just is, and it shows that you have a spiritual pulse. And I know, you know, I haven't arrived yet. That's a healthy place to be in. And so, as I was preparing this, as I was studying and meditating on the Lord with it, I was convicted by some things in a good way. It was just a thought-provoking thing. But turn with me to Romans chapter 2, verse 1. I'm just going to do verse 1 through 6. I have 1 through 10, but I'm going to do 1 through 6. Romans chapter 2. If I were to sit down and let me just say this with Romans. If you love the Bible, just have yourself a time with the book of Romans, letter to Romans. If I were to sit down and just teach it, I don't know where. I'm trying to give thoughts, and if I just teach each verse, it's going to bore us to death. And I don't want to do it, but if you just have a love for the Word of God, it can apply to you. And one thing I've thought, and it's true, but just because something was written to solve an immediate circumstance does not mean it's not relevant to us today, because the human condition hasn't really changed all that much. Yes. We found last week, you know, we talked about the condition Paul was just writing to with the wicked pagan Gentiles and all the situations they had back then. And even, you know, we're talking about 14 out of the first 15 Roman emperors were homosexuals, and that was the environment he was in. And so the human condition hasn't changed all that much. And so the Word of God, it speaks and it's living and it's active. And it's a healthy thing to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God. And sometimes it's easy, I'm just going off on my own little rabbit trail right now. It'd be easy to read the Word of God and say, you know, that applies to Willie. I need to go tell Willie that. Sometimes I need to turn the guns on myself. Oh, Holy Spirit, that works with me. That fits me. And the Word of God reads us. Amen, because it's alive. Yes. And so verse 1, just as a quick background, Paul just finished addressing Gentiles. You know, he went through all the different things. You're undeserving, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, and just really some really nasty descriptions. And one thing that's helpful when you read the letter to the Romans, one of the funniest verses to me is in the 16th chapter. The guy who writes it, Tertullus, writes, "I, Tertullus, who wrote this epistle, greet you as well." Because Paul is not sitting down just writing this. It's like a diatribe. He's saying it. And he's got a secretary who's sitting there writing it, Tertullus. So you can imagine at the end of the epistle, Tertullus, Paul might have taken a breath, and he says, "I, Tertullus, who wrote this epistle, also greet you." Which is kind of funny to me to think. It kind of gives you some alive context, you know, telling how long he's been writing. But he's speaking. And in diatribe, sometimes we all do this when we're talking. I got an email Friday morning. We have a new VP at work, and she wanted to have a meeting with me. I texted her at 2 o'clock. I was like, oh, gosh, 2 o'clock afternoon, Friday meeting, the new boss. And so one thing I do, my own diatribe, I start, okay, she says this, I'll answer this. She does this, I'll go here. She says this, I'll go there. And so Paul kind of, and the meeting went well, and everything's good. But the Paul kind of does that. So Paul's saying, you know what? I'm giving it to the Gentiles right now, and I can see here I'm addressing the Jews who are more or less moralists who are saying, yes, I'm glad I'm not like that. I'm glad I'm not like that. And he says, you, which we're about to read, this is what he's saying to them. He says, therefore, verse 1, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For whenever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing the same things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. But in accordance with the hardness of your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God Verse 6 is where my heart is this morning. Who will render to each one according to his deeds. Real quick, just to give you context, the immediate context to this. And this what I'm about to share is Christianity, not even 101, it's 100. My righteousness is filthy rags, as I said. And Paul talks about this. But he also says to Philippians that my righteousness may be found in him. So I could be some of the best people I've ever met. Some of the best people in the world are people who are not believers in Christ. Mm-hmm. That's not the qualification.
Yes.
And so Watchman Nee, there's a classic book if you've never read The Normal Christian Life. It's a classic. And I remember a story, I was looking for it last night and I couldn't find it. But he talks about a liberal social gospel preacher there in China. I think his name was Mr. Wang. And that's okay. And Mr. Wang was a social gospel preacher, basically, I'm okay by doing good works and I don't need the shed blood of Jesus Christ in my life. And Watchman Nee say, went up to him one day and he had a dog and he said, Mr. Wang, I see your dog. What's your dog's name? I don't remember. We'll call it Fido. So Fido. He said, okay, Fido Wang. And he said, no, he's not Fido Wang. He's just Fido. He said, no, he's a part of your family. Fido Wang. He said, no, he's a dog. And he got to the heart of it. He said, exactly right. He's a dog. You can change his name, but he's still a dog. Until your nature is changed, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You can call me that all day you want, but until I'm a human being, I'm not really, I can't take on, my kids can take on my last name. Yeah. If I had a kitty cat, like I said, kitty cat, someone would say, okay, Tiger Lockridge. No, it's Tiger. We don't have the same DNA. We don't have the same blood flowing through us. Just like in Christ. And that actually led Mr. Wayne to Jesus. Because he said, you know what, I can talk about the Lord, I can do other things for the Lord, I can do this, do that, but until I carry the same nature, the same DNA, washed in the same blood, I have nothing. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's a foundational thing he was talking about here with the moralists. Sometimes we can moralize and we need sin in our own heart. But he also says this, the goodness of God leads you to a repentance. This is one more quick point that I want to share what's in my heart. William Barclay described it this way, which I think is really good. God's nature is restoration. It's forgiveness. It's who he is. And so I never give up on anyone. Never, never, never. I don't care what anyone looks like, what's going on. I don't care how far they've fallen. It's the Lord's heart to restore. I'm just a believer in that.
Amen.
I don't write people off until it's all said and done. So not the judge of all the earth do right. Praise the Lord, I'm not the judge of all the earth, and praise the Lord, you're not, because we'd all be in bad shape. But he describes it, it's like a child, and if I'm 18 years old, and I do something ridiculous, and I hurt my parents, but they forgive me, forgive you, restored, it's like the prodigal son and the prodigal father, basically. And he says, you know what? I'm going to trade on the fact that my father always forgives me. We have two choices then. My father always forgives me. I can go back and do it again and it's okay. Or I can be so moved. You forgave me. You didn't have to. You had mercy on me. You didn't have to. And so I actually turn and say, out of love, the goodness of God should lead me to repentance, not further walking away. And N.T. Wright described repentance this way, and I love it. It's like there's a king. We sang about the king on the throne, I think, this morning. At least it was what was in my heart as I was singing some song. The new king's on the throne. There's a new man in charge, new God in charge. So to walk in his kingdom, I have to shift my ways and walk in his ways. Okay. So the goodness of God should not lead us further from him. It actually leads us to repentance. And I repent all the time. I do. Whether I'm... can just be a thought I have, or an attitude in my heart, or something. Oh, Holy Spirit, correct this in me. Change this in me. Work in my heart. And that's just the posture we should all have, and we should all take. The goodness of God. Like I said a few weeks ago, you're free to sin. I'm free to go out and do whatever I want. God gives me that freedom. He gives me that liberty. But I'm still responsible, and I'm not to normalize that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So it says this. He will render to each one according to his deeds. And in Romans chapter 14, verse 10 through 12, it says this, why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to the Lord. Okay? Am I saved based on my works?
No.
It's by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works that any should boast. Very next verse, we are his workmanship, created for good works. Right?
Amen.
So, just a quick lesson. One of the basic foundational things of Scripture is judgment. It's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It's not taught on much, but it's a foundation of Paul, whoever wrote Hebrews. I think it was Paul. It's a foundational thing. If you don't have that in gear, and I should probably go in and teach some of that stuff, it's foundational. And so if you go in and read Revelation chapter 20, sometimes we'll get it confused. That's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And so as you were talking about before, Mary, if I stand before the Lord washed in his blood, you know, Pete sings, see the pearly gates will open. So that's the case. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. If I'm not, separation. Great white throne of judgment. Amen?
Amen.
But there's also a judgment for believers as well that doesn't have anything to do with the heaven or hell issue. It has to do with our deeds. Okay? Let me read some verses to you. And it deals with rewards as well. Let me just read some passages. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the conscience, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Okay? Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. It says, Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat of the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill for him, for the reward of his hand shall be given to him. In Matthew, just a couple verses in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 16. For when the Son of Man shall come in his glory with his Father, with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to their works. I'm not talking heaven, hell. I'm talking about how we live our life.
Yeah.
As a believer, as a son of God, I can do the very bare minimum. I say the prayer, move on, and that's fine. Let me just share a story as I get into this. There's a pastor I like. I love his intensity. Mike Bickle, and he was sharing. He preaches on this subject often. And he was sharing a story. He was in his 20s. He says, I was a young pastor. And he was on fire for God, really pressing into the Lord. And he had just this encounter with the Lord one night. And he says, I saw myself before the Lord, and his face was just sober as he was looking at me. And he said, he had a wasted life. He was in his 20s. And he said, I was just distraught. I was in tears. Thinking, oh, Lord, I'm seeking you. I'm fasting. I'm praying. I'm studying the Word of God. I'm declaring your truth everywhere I go. And then he woke up and he said, I don't know how, but I was in another room on my knees in tears. It was such a life-altering experience for him. And he said, what it did for him is it created sense. You know, he said, here I am in my 20s. I'm not going to allow my life to be a waste. I'm not going to not pursue him with all I have. I'm not going to go in with just the bare minimum. I'm not going to stand before the Lord. And he says, you know what? You have a saved soul and a lost life. You're in heaven. You're with me. But there's no, and I'm going to give you some scriptures in a minute, and just a few scriptures. It's a wonderful study. You go through the scriptures. It's very consistent. Rewards. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What does that mean? It means there has to be some type of reward based on the responsibility and maturity I have in this life. My life, Psalms 90 says to number our days. Well, give me a heart of wisdom, I may number my days, that I have a heart of wisdom. 70 years or 80. But I don't think my life work and my life heart is just a 70, 80, 90 year time frame. I believe it's eternal. Amen?
Amen.
There's an eternity, there's an eternal mandate on my life. Doesn't just end the day I die. I want to go to heaven. Stand before the great way. I'm going to heaven. But I want the Lord to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not, man, you said the prayer. Thank you, but I put so much more. I've given you so much more responsibility. I have this for you. I have that for you. Remember when I was nudging you in this direction? This is not a shame issue. This is just an accountability issue with us and the Lord. Amen? Let me read a couple other passages for you. It says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 11. It says, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Same theme, right? All appear before the judgment seat of Christ. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but are well known to God, and I trust are well known in your consciousness." Hebrews says this, "It's appointed unto man to die once and then face the judgment." The judgment seat of Christ, and if you've been in church, we used to talk about it a lot years and years ago. You may have heard it's called the Bema seat of Christ. It's in the Greek. And so what that was, and what Paul was writing to the Corinthians about, is that was like an athletic contest. There's a guy up on the stage, and the winner would get Bema seat. The winner would get rewards. Amen? It's like if my Carolina Panthers are playing in London right now, I was talking to John and Tony, so Jesus help them to win, whatever the score is right now. Let them win. It was like if they won the game and they get a reward. It's the Bema seat of Christ. Okay? There's another wonderful passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul's talking about, why do you look to Paul? We're all just ministers. You're God's field. And he goes on and he says this, "No, for no foundation can anyone lay other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day of the Lord," he's always speaking the day of the Lord there, "will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Our God is a consuming fire, he's testing our works, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that's a beautiful passage. So if I'm staying before the Lord, I might have some wood, hay, and stubble, and I might have some precious stones. And whatever I do, my motives, my heart, my actions, not according to what someone else thinks, but according to my obedience to Him, it's going to stand before the Lord, and it's either going to be counted as gold, precious stones, or silver, or it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to be burned up. And I think it's going to be rather amazing when we stand before the Lord. And I think some of the choicest saints we've probably ever walked and the people no one have ever heard of. Let me read some verses to you about rewards in here in the Scripture. You can just listen to me. It's Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to kind of comment on them as I go. I love the Beatitudes. I love the Sermon on the Mount. I love it, I love it, I love it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. Actually, verse 11. He says, "Blessed are you when they revile and when they persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." In Hebrews 11, when he talks about Moses, he said he chose to suffer so rather than being blessed with the Egyptians so he can have an eternal reward. So here's just a simple reward. Like I was saying before, am I not ashamed of my faith? Persecution is normal in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, when it comes together, there's conflict. That's a normal thing. Our response is always going to be different. But Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," in a context of horrible degradation and immorality and everything that we can see in our own world today. So how's my stand for Christ? Where it says, if you persecution, great is your reward. Amen? Chapter 6, verse 4. He says this, "But when you do your charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." It's another reward, right? Amen. Let me say something about that. If the Lord asked me to give something to, let's say the Lord asked me to give something to Willie, a charitable deed, no one's going to know about it but the Lord and me. I could never give it to him, and no one would ever know. Oh, you're such a great man, and the Lord spoke, and you have to give this man, you know, $200. I don't do it. If I do it in secret, there's a reward. Amen?
Amen.
Whether I like that terminology or not, it's Scripture. Reward. Either it is or it isn't. I can stand before the Lord, and you can say, I told you to give Willie. You really needed that. Thank you. You've been faithful in a few things. You've been responsible. You've been mature in this life. Now your eternal career. I'll make you rule over many things. Something simple is my charitable deed. Amen? That I don't have to brag about and tell everyone about. Matthew 6:6 says this. But when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, go into your room. And when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will what? Reward you openly. Let me go down one more, and because I don't want to come across as I'm putting a burden on you. Let me share something in just a minute. It goes on in verse 16. He says this: Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to man to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, you have your reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. Okay. I spoke, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, it's not wise, Paul said, to compare ourselves with one another. And obedience is better than sacrifice. What is God calling you to do? I actually, on the subject of fasting, I have two books on fasting. I feel like this might help someone. Two books that I like, I read. One of them is by a man who will do 3 40-day water fasts in a year. Now, if I did that, you wouldn't see me anymore. I couldn't handle 1 40-day water fast. Man has a powerful ministry. And he actually writes in his book, he says, God took me to this extreme measure of fasting so I can minister on it. And another book by a man with an unbelievably powerful ministry. He's gone to be with the Lord. And he says, I live a fasted lifestyle, but the longest fast I've ever gone was only 3 days. Now, who gets a bigger reward? Well, the guy who did more. No, I don't really believe that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Look at the fruit of their life. What is God calling you to do? I'm not responsible for what he's calling him to do. Let me give a story with this real quick. Sometimes there's seasons in our life where God would have you focus on a specific thing. There's a minister in North Carolina who was talking. He said, God used to give me these unbelievable revelations. You know, I'd go off to my cabin. And he said, then I had about a 7-year period where I got nothing. And he was being interviewed, and the lawyer was like, well, didn't that bother you? And he said, no. He said, it was a different season for me. Mm-hmm. He said, I was in charge of a ministry. I was doing admin stuff. I was leading. I was directing. I was doing things. If I tried to go back and do what I did 7 years ago, I would have missed out what I was doing right now.
Right.
You know? And so, graze your reward. Well, I have to go back and do that. Your reward is being faithful to what God's called you to right now. I was in here yesterday, and I saw our brother, the Lord reward you openly, back in. I went to the back to see what's going on. He was back there on his knees. Just before the Lord. And I was in here, you know, studying and preparing my heart for this. And I actually said to myself, when I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I really wish I could just go back there and just be on my knees in prayer and God. And the Lord just corrected me, you know. And I said, it would be better for me. It would be better if I was just back there and just doing that. Now, I could abdicate what I'm doing now and put all this aside and go do that because I could feel like it would be better for me, but that's not my assignment right now. The Lord told me, your assignment right now is to seek me,
Amen.
Meditate on my word, and do this. Who gets the better reward? Obedience. What's God speaking to you? He's doing more of this. Well, God's calling me for this.
Amen.
The only downfall is if the Lord says, you know, Wilbur, I need you to go back there and spend 3 hours in the prayer room. I'm not going to know that. Catherine's not going to know unless he tells him. But if he doesn't do it, oh, Wilbur said this, but he says, Wilbur, you know, I asked you to spend this time back there. That's wood, hay, and stubble. He didn't do it. That might seem rough. Maybe it's coming across rough. I'm not trying to be. The heart of this is not to be condemnatory, but what's the Lord asking for you to do right now, where you're at?
Amen.
No one's going to know. God can tell me to give however much money to somebody. No one's going to know but me and the Lord. That's something I do with Him. And there's rewards for that. It is. Amen?
Amen.
Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. C.S. Lovett said this. Not C.S. Lewis, but C.S. Lovett. I love this quote. He said, blood-washed believers will be spotless in God's sight. Amen?
Amen?
Thank the Lord for that. But we will not all have the same service record. Salvation gets us to heaven, but works determine what we do after we get there. I'm not saved by works. I'm not saying that. I'm saved not by works, but just because of everything Jesus did.
Amen.
But I still have responsibility as a son of God to live my life. And that's what Paul was telling these folks. He said, you know what? You're criticizing them because you're not doing what they're doing, yet at the same time is your life bearing fruit? And what's bearing fruit with you? Amen?
Amen.
One more little thing. I'm going to get... In Revelation 3:11, it says this, hold fast what you have that no one may take your crown. And in 2 John, chapter 2 John, I'll let you guess what chapter. It's verse 8. There's one chapter in 2 John. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, that you may be rewarded fully. Let me actually go back one step first, because I remember something I didn't say. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, because sometimes we like to be, we look at people and we think front and center, someone's doing this, or this guy's done this, and this guy's done that. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is Anna, a daughter named after Anna, in Luke. And it says she was a widow 80-some years before the Lord in the temple, night and day with fastings and prayers. And I think of Anna, and I think, you know, I wonder who, if anyone noticed her, other than we have to take care of her, she's a widow. You know, she was a woman in those days, they weren't really honored. I wonder what people thought of her. The crazy woman in the back praying, what is she praying for, what is she doing? And the Holy Spirit recorded her for all of eternity to see. A hidden ministry. I believe this, your reward is not so much the way we deem rewards, and I'm probably not saying this fully. It's not so much, Wilbur did this, so I'm going to give you this much money, we're going to reward him. There's something more intimate to that. And I think the Lord will reward us based on, you know what? I'm picking on you, Wilbur, it's okay. Wilbur obeyed me. He went back there, he didn't worry about what this guy was doing, he worried about what I was doing. And because he showed his love for me so much, I'm going to reward him. If my daughter came up to me and said, Daddy, I just love you with all my heart, put her arms around me, I would do anything in the world for her. At that moment, it would just melt my heart. I would buy her anything she wanted to. Isn't our Father the same way? This guy obeyed me, we didn't have to. He put up with persecution, we didn't have to. You know, he gave this, we didn't have to. You know, these guys thought he was crazy, but he knows I told him this. Great is your reward. You've been faithful over little things. Now you're going to be ruler over many.
Amen.
Your eternal career. You're going to be known. I believe, and I could be wrong, I just look at Anna and Simeon. You can look at Simeon the same way. You know, now I can pass. I held the Messiah in my hands. And we look at these guys, and, you know, it's probably the little praying grandmother in the back of the room that no one knows, who might just be so honored, who might have just precious stones and gold and silver,
yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. And I was in here yesterday, guys. I told you this. I was done. I just started crying. I had to get myself together. Because I said, Lord, I don't want to stand before you and say, you know what, Clay, you're saved, you're born again, amen. But, you know, I spoke this to you then, and I spoke this to you then.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do it. And if you say, you know what, I know that's me in the past, that happened in the past. David was a man after God's own heart because he knew how to repent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said this before, goodness of God leads you to repentance. Lord, you're good. You have rewards. Lord, I screwed up 5 years ago. I want all there is of you now, Lord.
Amen.
The Lord honors that. That's his nature. He honors repentance.
Amen.
Look at any revival that's happens, and the theme of that is repentance. Lord, I'm going to turn even in my thoughts and my motives and my actions and my heart. I'm going to seek you with all that I have. Lord, I don't want to stand before you and say, you're saved, but you've just wasted your life. I've given you so much. To whom much is given, much is required. I was at a meeting one time, and there was a woman of God who was in a group. I went up for prayer. This was only about 2 years ago, a year ago. And the lady was behind me. She was saying, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. Much has been given to everyone in this room. Everyone in this room. When I say much is required, it doesn't mean you have to write 20 books. Much is required. There's an obedience. There's something in my life that should be pressing me forward. Fully obey Him and be all that He's called me to be. You know, Mike Bickle had that experience, and that guy's one of the most intense men of God I've ever seen in my life. Like, I get tired just listening to him sometimes because he's so intense, because he has this thing. Lord, I want to be all you've called me to be. In my own personality, and my own makeup, and my own calling and mandate, I want to be all you've called me to be. Don't suffer loss for rewards that could be received. I'm going to end with this. There's a prayer that I pray sometimes. And it's, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Psalm, I think it's Psalm 50. Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sometimes as we go through life, we can have moments. Look at Samson and Delilah. Samson, I love his story. But did Samson end well? At the end of the day, he didn't. He had a weakness. His weakness was women. He had a woman rock him to sleep on her knee. And all his anointing was gone. His mandate, his calling was cut short. Don't allow a person or a situation. You know, sometimes something can happen to us. I could say, you know what? I reject Willie. I do something. And we end up taking rejection on ourselves. And I walk around my life insecure. I walk around rejected. And I never live up to the man of God. You know, who we are, it's when I look at myself years from now, I don't really see, I'm going to be doing this. I say, I want to be this. I want to be like Jesus. I'm not just saying that. That's really my heart. I want to be just like Him. I want to be His son, where someone can say, hey, I can tell you're a child of God. Whatever I'm doing, I don't care what I'm doing, but just who I am as a person, as a son and a child of God. Who am I? I don't want anything to take that. So sometimes we take things on that people say to us. If that's happened to you, have a time with God when you get home and say, I break that word. I cancel that word. However you do it, if you have to go for more prayer or whatever you have, but say, Lord, I'm going to find out who you say that I am. Sometimes people can derail us, even as you see Samson, Delilah, Jacob and Esau sold his birthright. And I'm hungry, you know? Did he finish well? There's a survey, there's a man, I can't remember his name, but he studied leaders. He studied leaders in the Bible. He said 75% of the leaders he studied, or maybe it was 85, ended with less anointing than when they began. They ended worse than it was when they began. That's tragic. What happens along the way? Don't lose your crown. Okay? It's not a heaven or hell issue. I could screw up royally. You know, not turn my back on Christ, give my heart to Him, and, you know, still go to heaven, but live way below the line that He's called me to live. And that's what my heart is for us this morning. He will render to each one according to his deeds. Am I saved? Yes. I'm judged with my eternal security on the blood of Jesus. But my rewards, I call it my eternal career. We have to have an eternal perspective. More than just 5 years from now or a year from now. My eternal life, I have to have an eternal perspective. And I say, Lord, I don't want to waste these years that I have here on earth, Lord. I want to give it all I've got for you. Lord, if you're calling me to 10 minutes in the prayer room, and you're calling someone else to 20 hours in the prayer room, I'm going to be faithful and do the 10 minutes in the prayer room. Amen. I'm going to be faithful to do all God's called me to be and all God's called me to do, and not allow someone to sift that from me. Don't allow someone to take your crown or your reward. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to be rough, but some people need to hear that. He's going to render to you according to your deeds. See, we would hay or stubble, or it's going to be precious stones, depending on what foundation I'm built on. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this people.